Good morning. It's 7:49 and you are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Monday, August 20th, 2012. I'm Holly Keene and this is Raven News. About 70 people were rescued on Sunday morning from a sightseeing boat in Glacier Bay. Ed Runco has this report sent by radio station KHNS in Haines.
The 79-foot Baranof Wind is owned by Sitka-based Allen Marine. It reported taking on water after striking a rock in the waters near Glacier Bay. The Coast Guard and National Park Service responded, as did a Holland America cruise ship that was in the area. Coast Guard Petty Officer First Class David Mosley.
The cruise ship was already there on scene, and when they heard about the need for assistance, they immediately diverted. They were there before our helicopter could get there from Sitka.
The cruise ship Volendam transferred 70 people from the damaged vessel. It was transporting the passengers to Bartlett Cove, where another vessel was planning to bring them back to Juneau. The National Park Service transported 2 people from the Baranof Wind. 4 crew members remained on board to maintain pumps and ensure it would stay afloat until it can be towed again to Sitka. Again, Mosley from the Coast Guard.
They're going to stay on board until they can get the vessel taken care of, meaning a response will be planned by the owner of the vessel to come out and to salvage it, to tow it back into port where they can make repairs.
The Coast Guard sent an MH-60 Jayhawk helicopter from Air Station Sitka to bring a dewatering pump to the Baranof Wind. It also diverted the cutter Anacapa to assist the crew. Mosley said Coast Guard Sector Juneau is sending response personnel to investigate the cause of the grounding and the potential for fuel leaks, although none had been discovered as of Sunday afternoon. Reporting for this story was done by Margaret Friedenauer in Haines. I'm Ed Ronco in Sitka.
The Evening Star will stay at the bottom of Slocum Arm. That's the word from the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation about a fishing vessel that sank in western Chichagof Island waters earlier this month. The 50-foot Evening Star, home-ported in Sitka, capsized while seining on August 2nd. It was initially in shallow waters, but slipped to a depth of nearly 400 feet. A report from the state's Environmental Conservation Agency says the vessel released the majority of its fuel when it sank into deeper waters. The boat had about 1,000 gallons of diesel on board, in addition to some lube oil and a hydraulic oil tank. The release of the oil products resulted in a sheen nearly a mile and a half long. It has since dissipated. No impacts to fish or wildlife reported. The stern anchor from a responding vessel was cut loose and used to sink the boat's seine net to the seafloor. Depth sounders now show the net at 220 feet below the surface. The state says crews have retrieved oil containment booms above the wreck and from the mouth of nearby salmon streams. All summer long, 4 student apprentices have been working on Alaska Native artwork at the Sitka National Historical Park. The students studied under metal carver Charlie Skulka. The Alaska Geographic Society supplied enough money to provide supplies and a $10 per hour stipend for the students. KCAW's Ed Ronco visited the park on Friday, the last day of their apprenticeship. He spoke to Skulka and 2 16-year-old artists about their work. He said they learned a lot about Native art, but also about themselves. Here's an audio postcard.
My name is Jenny Jeter. I'm from Anchorage, and I'm an apprentice under Charlie Skulka. There's beaded feathers, lighter cases I beaded, metal carving, basket weaving, and some more. It hurt a lot. My hands are so sore because it's my first time actually, metal carving, and I bet it's a lot, worse than wood carving. So my fingers are killing me in the morning for the first couple days.
How long does it take to do something like those earrings?
Those were actually my first pair, so it took a while, a week. But probably a person who's more pro at it can do it, probably a day or two.
And so what are the beaded works here? The lighter case?
Yeah, the lighter cases. They're not really traditional, but I like doing it. It's fun. Everyone who, every tourist I came in asked me if I smoked. You shouldn't be smoking. I'm oh, I don't smoke. I'm just beading the lighters. You never know when you need a lighter.
Did you have any experience in any of these art forms before you started doing this?
No, not at all. This is my first experience with Native art work.
Wow.
Yeah.
Weaving, metal carving, and beading.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite of the three?
Beading. I go around my house and say, I can bead this, I can bead that now, since I can bead now. So it's addicting.
Did you change in the process of doing this? Did it change your personality or your character? Or
it makes me think, like, I want to, like, incorporate my native culture into what I want to do when I get older. Because I never, like, had as much of my history and culture before. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, ever since, like, I started learning about my Tlingit culture, it made me more wanted to, like, more and more put it in my future. So maybe if I have, like, I don't know. It's really hard to explain.
My name is Charlie Skolka. I've started off my art career right next door, studying under Reggie Peterson. It took a lot of effort in the beginning to get the students to get over their insecurities about their artwork, but once they opened the door, they just took off. It was amazing. Our whole mission here is to sustain and perpetuate the arts, and as a teacher, it's my job to sustain the arts, but as students, it's their job to take it to the next level.
Hi, my name's Tommy Sweeler. I was born in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Moved to Sitka, Alaska when I was in second grade. Got into this apprenticeship through Pacific High School. Pacific High School had some classes where they'd let students come down to the Culture Center and make Alaska Native art. That silver one, it was made for my sister, Alicia, for her 20th birthday. And then this copper bracelet right here has two eagles on it with their heads pointing away from each other, with their wings spread out. And that was made for my mom because it's like, it says on the back of it, in honor of Doris Kimball. And Doris Kimball was my grandma, and she passed away like 2 years ago. And when she passed away, her funeral song, it was On Eagle's Wings. So I made this for my grandma. It was on her 2 year mark when I gave it to my mom when she passed away. It takes a lot of work. I wasn't that good at it when I first started.
Obviously, you got better at the artwork. Did your experiences this summer change you?
Yeah. It made me more patient. And I don't know, I kind of got really frustrated with it at first because, you know, I didn't know how to hold the tool right, didn't know how much pressure to put on it to make each cut, and it kept, like, slipping off to the side and making a cut, like, going the wrong direction, and it was just frustrating, and I had to, like, set my piece down and walk away from it a couple times. Like, I don't know, I think I'm good enough to keep going with it.
Student artists at the Sitka National Historical Park. Four high school-age students worked with metal carver Charlie Skolka to learn traditional forms of art. You can see the photos on our website, kcaw.org, or you can check it out in person. Their work is on display at the National Park through September. Farm bills, oil development, and the Sea Alaska's lands legislation have one thing in common. They're all on the move in Congress. Two representatives of Alaska's congressional delegation gave updates to the Chamber of Commerce in Ketchikan. KRBD's Layla Carey was there.
Alex Ortiz works for Representative Don Young in Washington, D.C., and Bob Weinstein is Senator Mark Begich's representative in southern southeast Alaska. Ortiz says the next few months will be interesting in Washington, D.C., in part because of the upcoming election. The farm bill is one that's coming up soon, and he hopes they'll be able to include provisions for Alaska.
We've got to extend the farm bill programs by September 30th, which means there's a lot of USDA rural programs that I'm focusing on right now, particularly the Village Safe Water Program and a couple others that we'll be working on when I get back in session here.
Another upcoming issue is sequestration, which is a series of across-the-board funding cuts that may or may not happen.
2 or 3 years ago, Congress passed a budget measure that had provisions in it to try and motivate Congress to pass some cuts. Basically, it has an impending provision that will hit next year, the beginning of next year in January. It's difficult to say exactly the impact of it right now, but we're talking about 8% budget cuts across the board for all domestic programs, with some exceptions, and everybody's really worried about that right now. So Congress needs to pass a fix to get those cuts from automatically going into place next year, or we're going to have some problems.
Ortiz says many critical federal programs could be affected by the cuts. Weinstein says that his job involves working with communities and individuals who need help with federal issues. Weinstein says that Begich's priorities are more jobs for Alaskans and limiting the effect of federal taxes and the budget deficit. Weinstein says the Alaska delegation works well together on issues that are important to the state.
And a very good recent example has to do with Arctic oil and gas development. I think we all know after long regulatory and other delays, Shell Oil has moved a fleet to do exploration in the Chukchi and Beaufort Seas. And they're there as we speak. Alaska is clearly a new frontier, if not a continuing older frontier for oil and gas and energy resources for the country.
On another issue of local interest, Weinstein says the stalled Sea Alaska Lands Bill now is making headway.
It's our understanding that a deal is very close to being had and that we may see some progress on that legislation in the relative near future.
A bill to transfer land to Sea Alaska Corporation was approved by the House in June, but that version was not expected to make it through the Senate. Both bodies have been working to finalize the land transfer called for in the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. However, there has been controversy over land selected by Sea Alaska, which runs logging operations in addition to other interests. Senator Lisa Murkowski's representative, Sonia Henrich, had been scheduled to attend Wednesday's lunch as well. However, she was stuck in Sitka due to fog. In Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
And that's all for Raven News. Today in Sitka, temperatures will be highs around 61 with lows around 50. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain in the afternoon, highs around 59.